This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm H. McGrady.
With us is our tech ambassador, Tyrell Dennison. Tyrell, welcome back.
Thanks, Kyle. Good to be here.
Almost every time I go on my computer now and I'm searching something in Google, there's this small print that says, we've changed our privacy policy. This is important. Check this out. What's going on?
Well, Google, prior to this change, there's a video that very briefly explains things. It doesn't explain all that's implied with this change, but basically Google has a ton of different services. There's Gmail, there's Google Calendar, there's Google Docs, there's YouTube, there's the list goes on and on. And so they had about 60 different privacy policies for each individual
The privacy policy when I searched Google was different than when I watched something on YouTube, than when I went to Google Plus?
When you signed up for those things.
Yeah.
That's correct. So each association, each new thing that you hooked up your Google account to had its own privacy policy. And so what they've done is decided to consolidate that to one policy. So now everything Google has one privacy policy.
Well, considering that most of us spend about half a second reading those things before we check the OK box, does this matter?
It does and it doesn't. In many ways, as they say in their video, the privacy policy hasn't changed. They're not going to sell your information to third parties. They're not going – it is still protected and secure just as much as it was before they made the change. What is implied with this change, however, is – the ability – and they talk about it, but it's the ability to use the information that they get from you across multiple platforms. So in other words, now with the way they have things set up, the emails you get from people in Gmail can alter your search results in Google. The things that you have in documents stored in Google Docs or comments that you've made – on Google Plus and other people's things can affect your search results, can affect how things are marketed to you through Google.
So let's say that I have many documents in Google Docs that contain references to
polar bears.
You will probably get an ad from a charity that is supporting polar bears.
Okay, I get that. I get how it would change what ads might show up.
Right.
How would it change?
Well, how does it change how does it know? Because, I don't log into Google. Like, I just go to Google and I search something. But then – and say I go to YouTube to watch videos. Well, I'm not necessarily logged into my YouTube account. So is it basically when you log into these things?
The greatest portion of it, yes. Although they also use cookies to store information in different browsing sessions. So it'll know your computer by the cookie it's given you or by your IP address, depending on which method they're using currently. But their big push for this is that it will benefit you so that you'll get ads that are catered to you. It's something similar to what Facebook does. They kind of both play this game. The question that it raises, though, and it's an interesting one, is do you want – stuff marketed to you exclusively that is catered specifically to you, or do you want stuff marketed to you that you wouldn't consider? So, for example, most of these marketing ploys, these companies that use targeted marketing, do so with things like stereotypes. And so if you're a young woman, you get ads for, do you think you're overweight? Do you suffer from this or that? And they market that to you. And people say, well, it's the marketing strategy, and that's been around forever.
But I was going to say, if you happen to be watching Lifetime, a channel that is predominantly the target audience is female, you'll get commercials that you might not get if you were watching, say, Spike,
which
is predominantly male viewing.
Exactly.
Audience.
I mean, you get that during day parts, during normal television. When you're watching a soap opera, you're getting – or when you're watching Judge Judy, you're getting ads for retired people or get your – ITT tech certificate, whereas
right. So I don't see the concern there, I guess.
Well, there is and there isn't. To some people that's concerning, and to some people that's not. So for some people like yourself, you like having ads targeted to you.
I don't care, and, I think is what it comes down to.
Well, then you can proceed as you always have. There are some folks who, like Ron Swanson notoriously did at the opening of a Parks and Rec video, throw his computer away when he realized that they can do that kind of stuff to you. And so some people really object to the use of your personal information to market specifically to you. And again, probably one of the biggest objections is, you know, the do you gain anything from having stuff marketed to you that's not what you normally think of?
Okay, so the marketing I get, but you say it might change my search results. So say Antoinette and I are biologists who have been exchanging emails and saving Google documents about polar bears. So when I go to my search engine, it might be more skewed toward finding me things about polar bears or the Arctic Circle?
Absolutely. Huh. A great example that Google actually uses in their video is the fact that if you are if you work in a zoo and all the things that you've done in your Google accounts imply such a thing, if you search for jaguar, it's going to give you jaguars, the animal, and not jaguar the car.
That could be kind of annoying.
That, yeah.
I think. I mean, I get it, but I still think that that could be sort of frustrating.
Well, they do offer you the alternative to turn off the personalized search. That is one thing they offer. In the top right-hand side, you'll now see a silhouette of a human and a silhouette of the world. And you can select whether you want personalized searches or not if you're logged into your Google account.
Okay.
Another thing, though, that it has become a part of the searching that has caused an uproar is the integration of Google Plus to the degree that it has. So if you're logged in now and you search for something, on the right-hand side, it'll say, I think, people and places. And those are people and places with Google Plus accounts. And not and it'll just be things of a social nature there. That area is designated for social. And it's an interesting scenario because Facebook has not given Google their information. Twitter did for a while, but they didn't want to keep the contract going, so they stopped. So Google says, well, we have our own social network. We can plug it in there. But then the problem is that becomes monopolistic in the sense that because Google has such a huge market share, you're promoting your social network. So if for example, and people can try this at home, you're logged in, or you don't even have to be logged in that I'm aware of. You go to google.com, you search music, and you see a list of artists who are on Google Plus. Britney Spears is at the top. And Britney's, I'm sure, made some great albums recently, but there are a lot more artists who are more relevant.
Mm-hmm.
The example I heard was Lady Gaga. Well, Lady Gaga's not there because Lady Gaga doesn't have a Google Plus account. So if Lady Gaga wants to be in the top search results for music on Google, she's got to start a Google Plus account.
Hmm.
Okay.
And now that already happens with Bing and Facebook because Microsoft and Facebook are together.
I thought about that.
So it's one of those things where there's everybody kind of makes sense. It makes sense since they don't have access to Facebook and Twitter that they put their own there. But then how do you do that in such a way that doesn't become monopolistic and promoting your own social network so that then it just kind of feeds your own ecosystem?
So let's say someone is somewhat bothered by this sharing, this amalgamation of information. Well, you mentioned Google is all over the place.
Right.
Facebook and Bing and things like that. Are there services, if you wanted to skirt all of this, that you could use?
The best ways to do that would be to not have accounts with them, one. Anything you put in an account, you've basically given the rights to, and that's in most terms and services. Mm-hmm. Just like with Flickr, if you put photos on Flickr, they can use your photo for their ads.
It can show up in my house on my Apple TV.
Exactly.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
That is bizarre. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, no, yeah, right. Exactly, yeah. Through the Flickr app on the Apple TV. Not using their services is the easiest way to do that.
But can you actually successfully, efficiently use the web by ignoring the services we've been talking about?
Well, you can use Google and not be logged into a Google account.
Oh, I guess that's what I've been doing.
Google is one of the, you know, particularly just the search engines, you can use without being logged into, and to use it even further so there's no location suggestions, you can use a private browsing mode in your browser, and that's pretty anonymous. You can go further if you really feel like it by using VPNs and things like that. If you're a technical person, you're probably already aware of, and if you're a technical person and a bit of a hermit, are probably already using to anonymize yourself or mask your IP address so that people don't know who you are. Just the general user who doesn't want that information going out, it would be to make sure that you're not logged in. You want to go into your privacy settings and don't accept cookies. Don't save username, logins, or passwords, things of that nature. It will make the internet a slower experience for you, but that's something that most people that are concerned about privacy and data are willing to sacrifice. A little speed for the sake of Kmart not knowing that I bought socks today.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Ty.
You bet.
Tyrell Dennison is our tech ambassador.